Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And as always, we are wishing you the best. And we have so many things going on. If you visit naturalnurse.com and go to schedule, you will see that we have many classes you can join us, join in with on ground. That means where we meet face to face. Or, of course, we have online herbal course certifications that you also can join in on. You can visit our book section to see the many books that we have available, and you can also ask your questions. So we're so happy that you have joined us right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We're excited to see that there's about 130,000 downloads happening at our archive, as well as those of you who join us live. And today, we are very happy to have on board a brilliant author who has just come out with a new book called Gut Balance Revolution: Boost Your Metabolism, Restore Your Inner Ecology, and Lose That Weight, the Weight for Good. And that is Dr. Gerard Mullen. Dr. Mullen is a board-certified intern, gastroenterologist, and nutritionist. He is an associate professor of medicine and serves as the director of integrative GI nutrition services at the Johns Hopkins Hospital. Dr. Mullen has accrued over 20 years of clinical experience in the field of integrative gastroenterology and nutrition, and he has also been regarded as an authority in integrative gastroenterology and was commissioned by Andrew Weil, MD, who has been a guest here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, to edit integrative gastroenterology for his integrative medicine library for Oxford University Press. Dr. Mullen was the youngest person to receive an honorary membership from the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and he also received the Grace Goldsmith Award presented by the American College of Nutrition in 2011. He is a founding member of the American Board of Integrative Medicine and serves on a number of nutrition exam committees and boards, and was recently selected to serve as vice chair for the medical practice section of the American Society for Enteral and Enteral Nutrition. So he has a long list of accomplishments. And today we're also going to discuss his participation with InnoVision Professional Media. InnoVision is sponsoring a unique healthcare symposium that will focus on the relationship between the gut and the brain, and the event will combine the latest research, testing techniques, and applications. InnoVisions is a thought leader in the natural health arena, and I, in fact, am on the editorial review board of many of their professional journals, and they offer top journals and resources to health professionals and consumers alike. So we're so happy to have as our guest today, Dr. Gerry Mullen. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Gerry.
Hey, my pleasure. How are you?
Now, shall we call you Dr. Gerry, or do you prefer Dr. Mullen?
No, I mean, a lot of people call me Dr. Gerry, so it's starting to stick, no pun intended.
Well, it's really an honor to meet someone who is both a gastroenterologist and interested in nutrition. I have been doing holistic medicine since 1964, and I have to say that this is a very rare combination, but it makes total sense.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's funny, they're in our teaching and our curriculums for years. We incorporate nutrition in our, you know, the board certifications for gastroenterology through the American Board of Internal Medicine. Nutrition is very small, but it's a part of it. It's, you know, tradition. Nutrition has been really thought of in the context of GI and many of the subspecialties. So it is a natural fit.
It is definitely a natural fit, and especially if we reference the medical literature, which shows a direct connection between the foods that touch our gastrointestinal tract, very often in terms of allergenicity and other factors, and gastrointestinal disease. But I find that it often seems to be ignored by other people in your profession, but it's so wonderful that you're now marrying those concepts and making it accessible both to your peers and to consumers Because I would say your beautiful book, Gut Balance Revolution, is really, you know, something that is well documented, but very simple for people to use.
I appreciate the compliments. You know, I think there are more and more doctors in our profession who understand that there is a link between altering diets and improving symptoms. I just think that the docs in general aren't trained or taught how to do that, and they are taught how to prescribe, and I think that becomes the toolbox overall is the pharmacopoeia. And yet there's other doctors who are very comfortable, a little more avant-garde in using nutrition and diet, and or they have a higher level of comfort referring to registered dietitians, and there's a growing population who are becoming interested and or experts in the gut. So I think that's where, you know, the partnership really begins. And also health coaches are becoming more and more knowledgeable and empowered. And for example, a good friend of mine that you probably know, Frank Lippman, the other day we were going back and forth by email, and he was telling me he's got 6 health coaches that he works with. So I see more and more health coaches, and they post on his site. They talk about all kinds of diets, and I see the health coaches becoming more and more comfortable in that aspect, and all professions, nurses alike. And I have nurses in my, you know, in the various organizations I'm involved in. I mean, nurses are becoming more and more proactive in holistic care. So I think there's a shift. The tipping point isn't there yet, but there's a shift, and I think it's an appreciable shift. I'll give you an example. Just a short example, if you don't mind. Here's a journal that arrived on my desk today. It's called Clinical Gastroenterology and Hepatology, right? And that's one of our main journals. On the cover is a picture of curcumin, and it's the front cover of the journal show. It says curcumin helps induce remission in ulcerative colitis, and that's front cover. So I think that I wouldn't have imagined 5 years ago that we would be seeing this. So I think that's where things are going.
That is so exciting and true. And I guess it's, you know, just to overuse the word organic shift, which in part is pressured by the kind of research that's coming out. And just a few years ago, like you state, doctors may actually have been caught saying that what you eat has nothing to do with your health and wellness, and also saying things like no herbs have ever been clinically studied. And now
right.
The awareness is really moving in the direction that you need to know that that's not the case.
Yeah, and I've pushed the envelope quite a bit in my own societies, organizations, and for a good part, you know, I mean, I'm involved in a number of organizations, as you all you mentioned in your introduction. And, you know, I've been the champion of these alternative strategies, herbals, diets, and I think within a few of these organizations, I made really significant progress in opening up, you know, finding colleagues who are like-minded and opening up the minds of others. And I think that, you know, just to see this on the front cover of one of our mainstream journals is very, very rewarding to see it. I mean, you need evidence to do that. But I think that there's an interest by the public which has pushed the envelope a bit and really demanded that these type of studies be done, because their own personal experiences were so overwhelmingly positive. So I think that, you know, a lot of this is consumer driven, but it takes 20 years since the bill by Orrin Hatch, this 1994 supplement bill that really empowered.
Oh, you're talking
us.
About the Deshaies Act. Yeah, that was about regulation more than studies. But
so,
yes,
yeah, we're
much.
we're about 20 years into it. But I think that was, you know, and people tried to knock that down. But I think people need to have the, you know, freedom to choose supplements. There's some problems with the way supplements are graded by some companies, but I think we need to have access to them. But here we know that the data's really exploded, that we know that there is evidence to show that they work, and this is just, you know, one example of it. And the books I have, The Inside Track, which was the first book I came out with, and there's a whole section on gut supplements and the evidence to support their use. And in this book, The Gut Balance Revolution is mainly about diet and how we shouldn't rely on pills or supplements or magic or silver bullets and focus on really food as medicine.
That is such a good point, because that's really where health comes from, which you do focus on the book, because you also talk about things like exercise and, of course, the all-important ecological balance and the gut microbiome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're learning more about how the microbiome really is this, you know, this hidden organ that for centuries that there's been many who believe that it plays an important role. You know, Ayurvedic medicine, traditional Chinese medicine always point to the gut, Hippocrates, and others. And Elie Metchnikoff, this Bulgarian scientist who won a Nobel Prize, really is the father of probiotics, all pointed to the gut. And really what's in the gut are these really vibrant trillions of bacteria that actually have intelligence, and they actually control us, if you can imagine. And I think that's the revolution, that we got to keep them in balance. And that's where I got the title of the book from, The Gut Balance Revolution.
It's perfect for, and does certainly ride right along with current research. So it's so wonderful that you chose that. So why don't we just go into defining that, if any of our listeners have not heard that term, gut microbiome.
The gut microbiome is a collection by definition, the DNA, but the collection of microbes within our gut, and they can range anywhere up to 100 trillion in terms of the number of organisms in our gut. But you know, they really refer to bacteria, but we're learning that there's a whole world of viruses that outnumber the bacterial microbiome by as much as 10 to 1. So as much as that definition refers to bacteria, it also includes fungi that we don't know really much about. And, of course, also the viruses. But I think we focus on the bacteria because that's what we really, in the last 5 years, with technology advanced, our understanding of what the bacteria are doing, but realize that there are communities of microorganisms, which include fungi and viruses, that we haven't really learned what they all kind of do as a whole, right? Because, not always the whole is not the sum of the parts, right?
That's correct. Things work together, have organization and communication that we're just beginning to find out.
Yes. Correct.
So in that way, that's true, what you said. It's not like you can look at each of these aspects in a vacuum, but rather the how they all work together. Now, of course, from a commercial perspective, it's become very big for people.
We know that the bacteria, they actually control expression of our genes. So in the book, we talk about metabolism, we talk about weight loss, we talk about, different aspects of metabolism, let's say, or insulin regulation or insulin sensitivity, but ultimately these bacteria, they kind of do a dance with us and regulate our genes. And that's one way they can control our ability to gain or lose weight indirectly.
That's amazing, because you do bring in the weight loss aspect, which really is a good thing to do, because sometimes that's why people do things. Although certainly probably a better perspective is to just do what's healthy overall, and that will naturally bring you into a normalized weight.
Yes.
But whichever way, whatever floats your boat, whatever makes you motivated to create change that's going to lead to better health.
Yes.
Now, how does this microbiome get out of balance?
Well, take a look around you, and you'll see people who 40% of the, or 50% now, of the American meals are eaten outside the home. And unless you're really picky or you're ultra healthy in terms of your choices, the choices aren't always that good. And the standard American diet, which is really, we call it junk food, but it's really high in saturated fats and, you know, red meats, which have antibiotics in them. And we'll certainly talk about antibiotics today, but just the junk food and the sodas and all that really disturbs the microbiome. The antibiotics we're overprescribing certainly disrupt the microbiome. And possibly, you know, the foods that are from genetically modified organisms that have residual, you know, pesticides in it that actually affect the microbiome may also be affecting, you know, our overall health and imbalance. So there's a lot of ways to get imbalance. You know, unfortunately, if you're born via C-section or, you know, you're not breastfed or you receive antibiotics as a child, more likely you'll have a disruptive microbiome and more likely you'll become obese. So there's a lot of ways to become disrupted in today's society by diet and overprescribing of medications and so on and so forth.
Yes, and those are the same things really that can lead to obesity. So you bringing in that relationship is really very helpful, especially in motivating people to create change.
Correct. Correct.
So that's great that you do that. Now, back to the concept of pills versus a full lifestyle change. There's really a lot of motion in today's media about using things that might be called prebiotics or probiotics. But they sometimes don't even discuss that. Of course, it's best to actually change your food consumption. It's not like just popping some pills is going to bring back a healthy microbiome.
You know, it's interesting. The there is data on pre and probiotics from the silver bullet point of view that you just mentioned. And it's not the frontline things I recommend for people. But I think what's interesting is the fact that there are data showing that they do help people, which tells me that, you know, a shift in the biome, because that's what they do, right? I mean, the probiotics are the infusion of viable, friendly, live bacteria that are part of our flora and actually do regulate all these different aspects of immunity and repopulation and everything else and compete with pathogens and help seal up the leaky gut and all that. I mean, these probiotics do that, certainly do that. But the problem with probiotics in the pill form is that they're like, what did Forrest Gump say, like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And
oh,
the problem
good.
With the studies show that, and the problem in your state, I know we're national, but you're in New York, is that the state attorney general who essentially raided Walmart and Target and I forget if it was CVS or Rite Aid, whoever it was, found that their supplements were, you know, what was in them wasn't, you know, certainly what was on the label was not fulfilled in what the analysis showed, even though they used DNA fingerprinting, which was suspect. The problem with probiotics by Consumer Labs is that many years ago is that they tested 25 brands and only 8 of them had the number of live bacteria that they actually labeled. So I think you got labeling issues.
That's true. They don't always
right?
say
and that's
shelf
the that's
stable.
The problem that I see is that you got labeling issues and so you don't know what you're getting. You don't, your throat, you're dumping in, even if you have 30 billion live bacteria that are labeled, you don't know if those are the right balance for you. You're just overwhelming, if not flooding your body with these bacteria, praying that, you know, the right ones stick and do what they're supposed to do. But you don't know that, right? You're just hoping good bacteria stick and somehow they magically make you better. But what the funny thing is that if you look at the studies using, and the studies use, they can quantitate the bacteria. So you know you're in his studies, you can trust that they're live bacteria and they are the sufficient quantities. And there's an effect, right? They're showing measurable effect. So that shows you that if you give back, you know, these probiotic bacteria, that you will get an effect. The problem is we don't know on an individualized level which bacteria and how much. And then you got the labeling aspect. You don't know what you're getting. So, I mean, I'd rather do it naturally through foods that are prebiotic, or the prebiotic definition are foods that actually take your good bacteria and boost them naturally, and actually give yourself fermented foods, which actually, you know, have live bacteria through kefir or sauerkraut or miso soup. They actually have known quantities of live bacteria. So I think you're better off doing that than going with the probiotic. The only time they really recommend the probiotics just kind of as a staple is before or during antibiotics. That way you don't get a complication of antibiotic therapy, because the data is showing that it does work for that. And the probiotic that I do recommend for that is Saccharomyces boulardii, and that's, you know, that is pretty, you can rely on, you know, at 250 milligrams twice daily, that is, you know, over-the-counter, but it's prescriptive in terms of its quality. But otherwise,
that is,
I think,
a very
that's
a, important
and that's what
point.
I talk about in the book with obesity, is that if you eat the right foods that really boost your bacteria and repopulate your bacteria naturally, you can lose the weight.
Okay, well, we're going to just take a little break right here, and
okay.
When we come back, we will continue our discussion with Dr. Gerard Mullen, medical doctor, author of this wonderful book you should have in your library, The Gut Balance Revolution. Boost your metabolism, restore your inner ecology, and lose the weight for good. And you can find more. Of course, we'll have this show, like all our shows, archived. But you can find Dr. Mullen at thefoodmd.com, website thefoodmd.com. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the nutrient known as taurine.
Amino acids are chemical constituents that form the building blocks of protein in the body. The official definition of an amino acid is a compound which contains an amino group and a carboxylic acid. Taurine contains a sulfonic group instead, so is not a true amino acid, although it is often referred to as one. The intracellular concentration of taurine is 10 times that of any normal free amino acid.
Taurine was discovered in 1827, but the significance of taurine in nutrition was not realized until 1975, when the journal Science published a study showing that taurine-deficient cats suffered from retinal degeneration. In 1986, the Annual Review of Biochemistry reported that the amount of taurine present in mammalian milk depends on the species. Natural human mother's milk is rich in taurine, but cow's milk, except for the early milk known as colostrum, is taurine deficient. Pediatrics Journal in 1983 printed a study which outlined several of the biologically significant functions of taurine, and an effort was then made to fortify infant formula by adding taurine.
Some species of animals, such as cats, cannot synthesize taurine within their bodies, and so must receive it through their diets. Humans have a very limited ability to synthesize taurine, so adequate intake through diet and supplementation is important. The principal source of dietary taurine is meat of various types and shellfish. Even people ingesting sufficiently high levels of taurine may develop a deficiency due to the overgrowth of certain anaerobic intestinal microorganisms which consume taurine. Certain prescription drugs are known inhibitors of taurine uptake.
The Journal of Neurochemistry published a study in 1975 which showed that taurine concentrations are extremely high in the retina. In fact, the retina contains two binding proteins specific for taurine. Research has yet to determine exactly how taurine functions in the eye, but deficiency of taurine has been found to lead to the degeneration of photoreceptor cells. Continued studies on taurine have linked its presence to several biological functions, besides being a protector of the delicate tissues of the eye. Taurine helps to neutralize oxidizing agents caused by ionizing radiation. Taurine is present in high concentrations in the normal heart. It stimulates white blood cell motility and protects cell membranes from free radical damage. Taurine has proven useful in epileptics to reduce or control seizures. It helps modulate the transport of substances such as sodium, potassium, magnesium, copper, and iron across cell membranes. Additional research supports taurine's role in preventing gallstones.
So, as you can see, the nutrient taurine may be an important addition to your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back once again to more here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Zit. And you with us right there. And we're going to bring back on board our guest for today, and that is Dr. Gerard Mullen. And Dr. Mullen, are you with us?
Definitely am.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. We had our little natural medicine chest. And I am really excited that you are pushing forward into the forefront of bringing this really well-documented information right into mainstream medicine, which I think is where it belongs, because I've always been involved with what I would call good evidence-based medicine rather than calling one alternative and one allopathic. If we look at what works, and also with using first what is not only most effective but safest, and then moving perhaps into the pharmaceutical and surgical realm when it's necessary, which certainly can be life-saving. But looking at a natural approach as a first intervention is very cost-friendly, for one thing, and of course gives excellent results with a good risk-adverse effect profile. And you really, you know, talk about that quite a bit in your work.
I definitely do.
So I want to thank you for that. Now, talking about your book, which is, again, Gut Balance Revolution, and people can find out more at your website. Is that the best website for you?
Absolutely. Well, the foodmd.com is my website, and that you can learn about it, read different blogs I have that relate to, you know, what we're talking about today, and I have a newsletter people can sign up for. That's the best site is the foodmd.com.
Well, thank you. And you're also actually busy in clinical practice.
Yes.
So people actually can come to see you as a patient as well.
Well, at this point, my practice is closed, but
you're too busy. I got it. That happens to all really well-trained doctors in natural medicine. They just become, you know, you can't see 300 people a day. So that seems to be the norm. But it's excellent that you're doing teaching so that other doctors can have access to this well-documented information.
Correct. That you need to do, because you can't just see everybody who, you know, it's just impossible.
That's a one-on-one. Now, tell us a little bit about your role with the InnoVisions health communication group, the InnoVision Professional Media.
Yeah, in a couple of ways. They have an excellent conference that is occurring next month in Florida, and that is looking and examining the gut-brain connection. And so a number of speakers are coming together to really fuel a discussion of how the gut and the brain do communicate and how that does impact on neurological brain conditions and so on and so forth. So it's, that's how I came, to the awareness of the Bensons. And also they have, as you know, they have a number of publications that I am, you know, working with them on, particularly the natural solutions. This really incredible resource to the public that really comes out on a daily basis that provides, you know, daily updates on different evidence about how there are natural solutions to different conditions.
And that's exactly right, evidence-based. And
yes.
So you are participating in bringing this information not only to mainstream consumers, but also to mainstream medicine, which I think is where it belongs.
Yes.
You know, in the public, not just for the few who could, let's say, pay out of pocket because there's no health insurance reimbursement for a lot of these things, even though they are quite cost-effective and naturally based. I loved how you talked about foods in terms of things like sauerkraut and miso. These are fermented natural foods. I also like kimchi personally, but when we look at the fact that grandmothers all over the world have developed a fondness for saying that these fermented foods are healthy, and now we actually have the evidence to prove it.
It's excellent that people are actually doing this research because I think people know that it works. And I'll give you an example. There's a gentleman here who's in research in orthopedics, but he was raised on a farm. And he really, you know, he was raised on raw milk. And he's been very interested in this area. And he's now, as a side venture, he's pursuing it on a research level. You know, so I think that's where it comes from. People's upbringing, their personal experience, and those who go into the science field, it kind of drives them to do the research once they find the opportunity and funding and time. And I think that's why we're seeing this explosion of data, too. I mean, it's from what we call the baby boomers, right? That's kind of that's a generation that we're seeing some of the shift, I would say.
Now, did you say raw milk? Because that brings in a whole lot of legal ramifications. We won't go into that, but I know people who buy raw milk, and they have to actually join a buying club and then, you know, state that it's for their animals in order to get it. That's what's going on.
Well, I can't speak for him, but I know that, for example, you know, he lives very close to the Pennsylvania border in Maryland. I know Maryland, it's, you know, I think he's even gone to the state. About this, but I think that, you know, certain states you can, certain states you can't, but I see periodic concerns that come out about raw milk and bovine tuberculosis and other things. You know, there are occasional problems with it, but I have to say, I think that that's just one discussion about, you know, people who were raised a certain way, you know, and they bring it to, you know, they bring those traditions to their profession, and that's why I think we're seeing curcumin on the front cover of a conventional GI magazine. And you know, for example, one of the people who did the major study on curcumin about 5 years ago were from Japan. You know, where it's used, not so much like in India, but I think there's and you see a lot of the, you know, data on kimchi and miso, et cetera, come from the Far East, where there's experience in Chinese herbals. So I think a lot of it's traditional and cultural, and I think people bring that to the table when they grow up and they become scientists.
That's very true, because we just yeah. like our microbiome, are a compendium, a mixture of every influence that has gone on in our life. Now, looking at your beautiful book, and I'm so happy to have it, with beautiful vegetables on the front, just looking at it is exciting.
Yeah.
You have bok choy, broccoli, kiwi, which is so high in vitamin C, it's even higher than citrus fruits. You have a strawberry, and you have a little bit of protein there with a cashew nut. Is your book based on a vegetarian diet, or is that just what the pictures wound up being? Or is there milk under it in a glass there?
No, that's not milk. Actually, I had debated with Rodale for quite some time that people would misperceive that's milk. I wanted yogurt.
Oh, okay.
And they felt,
okay.
They
it could
felt
be yogurt.
That the picture, they felt the picture was, you know, strong enough to indicate that. I was kind of like, I don't know. But I really like the blue in the, you know, to indicate the blueberry yogurt. But, I mean, it could be kefir. But it looks more to me like yogurt. But anyway, it could be fermented milk. But I think the picture there was to give a sense, not so much that it was all about vegetarian, is that, you know, there's pre and probiotics up there. You got the, you know, the pickle, You got the fermented milk product. But the nuts are really also, believe it or not, inducers of weight loss because they're very satiating. And there may be chemicals in them that help turn on our metabolism, and they're fibrous. And but for the vegetarian, it depends because you got a range of vegetarians. You got those who are not going to touch dairy, those where dairy's okay. That will make the difference in the vegetarian's ability to follow this, adhere to this closely, because if you're not going to have fish or, I don't really recommend red meat in the beginning because it's so loaded with antibiotics. Grass-fed's okay and certainly wild. I recommend wild fish heavily as a protein source from a Mediterranean anti-inflammatory point of view. But it's really all about, kind of resetting the biome by cycling foods. And I think cutting off the bad, let's say, pathogenic bacteria that hold on to weight by cutting off the bad foods that feed them and nurturing the good bacteria is what this book is all about.
It really is, and I don't want to not mention the fabulous recipe sections. I don't know if you wrote these yourself or you developed them with a chef, but cool cucumber avocado soup. That sounds like a great one for a warm day like we're experiencing at the moment.
Yeah, it's like there's a very nice lady. She calls, her trade name is the Skinny Chef, who is perfect for the project, by the way. I mean, just the name itself just makes you want to shed a few pounds. So I had a very heavy input in teaming up with her, I have to say. And so it was really a meeting of the minds, and it was hard work, but I've had a lot of people come back and say this is really excellent. So thank you.
Oh yeah, they're beautifully laid out recipes, and they sound delicious, nutritious, and yes, they're going to lead to weight loss if that's what your diet looks like all day. Now, what about your journey in writing this book, The Gut Balance Revolution?
Well, from a life point of view, I was a heavy teen and heavier than I could
have
been on air.
You're saying you personally were overweight as a teenager?
What's that?
You personally were overweight as a teenager?
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
not now.
And so I was on the, well, you're in a New York area, so I guess you have shop rights even by you. But being from New Jersey, that was like our local grocery store, and being online, I think at the time, shopping either with or from my mother, I saw a little, like a nickel quarter book, whatever it was, on fiber, and I read about it, and it looked like it was an interesting, I didn't realize it was all about the microbiome and all that, it was about fiber and weight, and I said, maybe this is one way to do it, and nothing else worked. And so I found myself having a lot of fiber, even if it was added oat bran. I had yogurt, plain yogurt, and all of a sudden, I just adhered to that kind of and cut out the junk, and all of a sudden, I started to disappear, no pun intended, but I started losing weight, and I realized that I was, for the first time able to do this. It wasn't about, count the old, energy in, energy out, and, years later, it's kind of like it makes sense because this is what science is showing, is that as we nurture our microbiome, and there was about fiber and boosting the microbiome and the yogurt, adding the microbiome back in, is that all of a sudden the weight that couldn't come off before started to come off. And once I had, all the science came out, within the last 5 years, I had my aha moment and I started to, I was working on Inside Track, and there is a track in there that deals with, elimination, diets, and those people started to really lose weight when I started to correct their bacteria imbalances. And I thought back to when I was a teen, that's what I was doing for myself, and that's when I wrote my proposal to Rodale. So, it wasn't a matter of keeping up with the Joneses. Actually, I was the first of several authors to submit the proposal to them, and I think they all wound up writing books, all five of them, just with different public, you know, publishing firms. I, you know, Rodale, you know, picked mine for a number of reasons.
Were you familiar at all with Dr. Serafina Corsello?
I don't know her
personally. Dr. Corsello was a holistic physician for many years. She had an office both in New York and Huntington, and I was her head nurse. And she actually had that place going for years and years, and we focused on this as a therapy. And mm-hmm. that was a long time ago. So you may or may not have known her.
Was she on the radio?
She actually was
the
initiator of ACAM and several other
things. Was she on the radio at all?
Yes, she was on WOR.
I do remember the name.
She had a show on WOR for many years,
yeah.
and I co-hosted that or filled in for her when she was out of town because we worked together.
Yeah.
So it's so great that it came to you as your own personal lifestyle, really outside of your professional life, but now you've been able to integrate it into your professional life because
no
the evidence is
there. You know, but I walked the walk. I walked the talk, too. But it's a matter of, you know, I've seen it work for me. I've seen it work for friends and family. I've seen it work for patients over the years. Now it's in a revolution. I mean, there's a number of books that are coming out about this, that are out about this. It's out there. The data is just hard to keep up with. It comes out at least weekly, if not daily, in this genre. So it is a revolution. It really is.
And then we're going to take one more little break here for Station ID and just have a music break. But when we come back, I want to talk about the outlay of your book, Gut Balance Revolution by Dr. Gerard Mullen, because you talk about three phases, reboot, rebalance, and renew. So what you mean by those phases. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And I'd like you to know you can always contact us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook The Natural Nurse. And we love to hear from you. We will be right back with more. Okay, so that was a little short break, but that's good because we are here with Dr. Gerald Mullen, Dr. Jerry, and he is the author of Gut Balance Revolution, Boost Your Metabolism, Restore Your Inner Ecology, and Lose the Weight for Good. The Gut Balance Revolution is really a fantastic outline that you can use, that Dr. Jerry has used himself on his friends, family, and patients with excellent results, and it's a food-based program. But also you have a lot in there about other things, Dr. Jerry. You have acupuncture. You have a great exercise. I love your exercise section. I actually, you know, just did some of the exercises during our break because I'm an exercise fanatic. But the way you did the, you know, very easy. Like, you're not even talking about joining a gym. You're talking about, you know, doing it at your house with a chair.
Simple things. I mean, even just walking, get moving. Simple. I mean, it's not about this energy in, energy out. I mean, that's I wouldn't say a fable, but I think that's led to a lot of failures and frustration. Are people counting calories and trying to over-exercise and they get more hungry and they gain weight? So I designed it so people can just get gently moving.
Well, I love it. I love doing it on the end of a chair. I really was a big fan also of doing things at home, and there's some really great videos around that people can follow. They don't have to go to the gym. Not that there's anything wrong with going to the gym, but just doing the simple exercises that you have in this book can really, really help tighten up, feel better, and lose weight. Now, tell us about why you chose to do those three phases and what they're about.
You know, it's funny. We talk about we talk about my first book, The Inside Tract, and that book talks about how to help reset the gut, and that's what we're talking about in this book, to lose weight. And there is about people who had irritable bowel syndrome and gut bacteria imbalances and a condition called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, or SIBO, S-I-B-O, which is becoming a little more epidemic within, you know, we recognize that it's a real culprit in causing symptoms in people with IBS. About two-thirds of people with IBS have it. And, you know, unfortunately, the conventional treatment is antibiotics. And no one really
Well, tell
really
us what's
applied.
Wrong with that conventional treatment, doctor, because certainly that is the first thing that we usually get prescribed.
Right, but the problem is that they have harmful long-term effects on the gut microbiome. And although in the short term you symptomatically feel better, but in the long term it does disrupt the communities of bacteria that keep you healthy. And it's only about, at best, 50% response, you know, in terms of symptoms. And in our experience, or my experience here, is about 33%. But diet, though, diet plays a role in helping. If you start to alter the diet, you can actually, by itself, can help induce symptoms without
That's
having
That's so true.
To do
you know, I'd like to share that one of the things that I study quite a bit and lecture about all over is about drug-nutrient depletion and herb-drug interactions. And when we look at the mechanism, like you brought up earlier, that these microbiome microorganisms have their own consciousness, when we look at how the resistant strains develop through the use of antibiotics, of course, this has been well-researched in terms of some of the mechanisms that the microorganisms use. Like we have something called the MDR pump, the multi-drug resistant pump. And these microorganisms have really figured out how to make use of our own intracellular pump that pumps out the antibiotics. And as they get better at that, then we get more and more resistant strains. So it's really so fascinating the deeper that you look at it.
I agree. And when I approached this particular book, Gut Balance Revolution, it was like a takeoff from The Inside Tract, which was really about, you know, people people with GI conditions and how to, you know, fix them. And part of it was by rebalancing the gut bacteria, but the people who are overweight and came to me with these IBS symptoms and they went on this program, they started to drop weight. And I said, you know, that's another aha moment I had. And I said, you know, this is really the functional medicine approach to gut healing, which I teach, and as part of a larger organization, the Institute for Functional Medicine, which is really a booming and growing organization that really is really teaching the public about holistic care. But it's really first dictum is to reset the gut. You really got to, you know, cut off the supply of the bad foods. And resetting the gut, you need to do that. And then that's the first phase, the reboot, the reset, you know, like with your computer, you really got to reboot it to get
Oh, you know what? That's so good to use that word in this period of time when that means something, especially to the younger generation. So weed your inner garden and rev up your metabolism. That's what you talk about there.
So that you're weeding like a garden. And your second is to really start to really reinfuse the good bacteria and supply them with fertilizer and seed them in terms of rebalancing the microbial communities to restore health and also to get your metabolism kicked off to lose weight. So in the first phase, you start to really cut off the supply of the bad bugs, right? And then you're also going on a little bit of a ketogenic diet also to kind of, you know, spark the weight loss. And people need to see success right away.
Hold on, doctor. You used a word that not everybody may know, although I know what it means. Tell us what ketogenic means.
Yeah, you know, it's a term that, you know, when we keep ourselves, I wouldn't say when we starve ourselves with carbohydrates, when we limit our carbohydrate intake to under 50 grams a day, the body starts to dump ketones as a way of starting to, you know, metabolize fats. So they call it ketogenic diet because you can measure the ketones in your urine as you're metabolizing fats instead of carbs. That's probably the best way of putting it. And a lot of the Atkins and South Beach and others have really, you know, promulgated the low-carb diets and even paleo to some extent to really, you know, kick off ketogenesis. But to me, this diet's not about ketogenesis as a shortcut to burn fat. It really is a way to get people to see that, you know, get their weight loss sparked as we're beginning to reset their gut bacteria. I mean, it's very simple.
And you also give great tips about how to make this easy to integrate it into your lifestyle in your book, Gut Balance Revolution. For instance, yes, in terms of looking at what would help your friendly flora flourish, you have this wonderful box that says favor, few, forget. And that's a great mnemonic. What do you mean by those?
Well, you know, nothing's absolute. And I think, you know, when I look at my Facebook daily, people... or even Amazon, unfortunately. You know, we're in a critical world, but people say, no, you're contradictory with phase one and phase two, and you say you can have dairy in phase one, but it says you shouldn't have dairy in other places. But I think people misconstrue is that there are certain things that are allowable in limited quantities, right? There's certain things you should absolutely stay away from. Let's say soda, for example. That's obvious. And then also, you know, you favor. We want to favor good foods. So that way there is like some type of flexibility, another F. There's some flexibility within the program, and those programs are going to vary from phase to phase. They're going to vary along the way depending on how you feel, but you got to have some flexibility because we're all individuals. If you got everybody on the same program, then we're all like these little program robots, and the body's not that way. Whereas individuals, biochemical individuality, as Roger Williams would say. We all have our own fingerprint. We have a DNA fingerprint. We have a metabolic imprint. We all react differently, and we have to have some flexibility within these type of programs that I think is lacking in many of these dietary approaches to weight loss.
Right, and with these delicious recipes you have, it's something that really could be sustained long term. And then,
yes,
for instance,
yes,
you know, you give certain like dairy-free alternatives for those who may be sensitive to dairy or if they're in one of the phases where it's not an allowable substitution.
I think one thing you pointed out that I failed to bring up earlier is that for a weight loss, if you call it that program, to be successful, you need to have sustainability. And to have, because 95% of people who go on these weight loss programs and lose weight in the beginning, in the end, fail. Because these, like these ketogenic programs, it's hard to maintain them. Right? But the anti-inflammatory Mediterranean diet is the staple of my end phase, which is maintenance phase. And you get to enjoy life around every 7 days. You can go out, have, you know, indulge. Because it would take more than just a day to disrupt your biome once you have resilience or strength, right? Once you're rebalanced, you're going to be able to take the hits better. Excuse the ambulance in the background. So I have
Perfect. You know, also,
yeah,
you personally live this way, as I do. I don't feel that it's a chore. It becomes really a joy to have one of these delicious recipes that you have in your book. It's not like, oh, gee, I wish I could go out for a fast food burger. You know, it becomes really what you desire over time. And I think that has to do with changing the biome because the healthier biome actually requests different foods, which does influence the brain as well with real chemical messengers. So it gets easier and fun over time, not a chore.
I agree. I think, you know, it's funny. I read something about how the biome has a role in choosing mating or your mate. So they're definitely going to make choices about your food. You're going to, you know, and I think the more healthier your biome is, the more it's going to tell you, this is what I need. And it's going to help you from straying. And I think you just, you got to build resilience, because as we age, part of longevity and part of staying out of hospitals is about building that biome.
That's so true. Well, I want to tell you that we're actually up to the end of our show.
Oh,
you
wow.
are a fabulous guest. Your book is excellent, Gut Balance
Thank
Revolution. And I just want to remind our listeners they can find out more at thefoodmd.com. Also, in terms of InnoVision that we talked about, that's available to you, InnoVision Media. And
yes.
you can always find us at naturalnurse.com. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamite, the Natural Nurse. And as always, I'm wishing you the best. Stay healthy.